Mr. Parsons, reel 6.
In this discipline business, the commander was the man behind, he was the kingpin.
Yes.
And I presume, as you said, that there's a kind of bush telegraph in circulation that you all know which commanders or before a man arrives on board.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's a devil. Oh, he's a nice chap.
Which was preferred, actually, the devil or the nice chap?
You expected the, you wanted the efficient chap. You see?
And he could get that either by being nice or not being nice.
Yes, he could.
What about the ship's police, the jaunties? They were the ones who administered this decision.
Yes, they administered.
Tell me about them again. Tell me about these people again.
Well, they eventually were called regulating petty officers, you know. They looked out for the watch bill, allocating jobs for the different parts in the watch bill, you see what I mean? Now, then they were responsible for discipline. They had to see that everything worked all right. And they were the buffer between the quarter deck and the lower deck. They were in a very invidious position, poor devils, you see. They kicked both ways. But on the whole, I found them to be quite fair. You've got the odd case, of course.
What sort of people actually became ship's police like that? What sort of men?
Well, they were... So one didn't know their background, of course. But I just say ordinary petty officers who perhaps hadn't got the sufficient ability to become qualified in any other way, you see.
And you wouldn't have much contact with them other than they were there and you were here. They wouldn't get themselves to themselves.
Yes, they did. Yes. They had their own little mess. And you didn't see much of them.
In a way, like policemen.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
I think you said, too, that the sort of man who became policeman on board ship would probably have become policeman.
Yes.
And lots of stories... you know, circulate about ship's police, that there's a certain amount of minor corruption that was involved. You didn't find this, you said?
No, I didn't strike it anyway. No, I don't. There wasn't much room for corruption, I'm sure of it.
You couldn't backhand these men?
No, I didn't. Well, I never tried, of course, but I never heard of any cases of it.
There was no bush telegraph in that way? No. Master at arms?
No.
Masters at arms? Could they make life difficult for people if they wanted to, occasionally?
Well, they could, but that was only carrying discipline, we'll say, to an extreme. You see?
You might, just thinking out loud, in your own case, you were the torpedo man. You didn't ever have a case where a man of in your squad or in your group was being got at outside. You felt unnecessarily.
Oh, no, I never had that.
Mostly the offences, as we say, were the basic ones, and people were head up quite legitimately for...
Yes.
Leave breaking, I think.
Yes, that's right.
The other one, a way, I don't know whether it was the police who did this, but you said that one way of disciplining people was to put them on the capstan. Tell me about that.
Well, perhaps they... couple of chaps would be working in the waist of the ship, doing working hours, you see. And one would throw a swab at the other or something like that, or make a blooming mess, you see. It was an offence that didn't deserve punishment, if you understand me, you see. And these two perhaps would be skylarking, we'll put it. So that would be their way, instead of having their dinner hour, they'd be put up on the capstans, you see. And one would have to say, I'm up here for skylarking. And the other one would have to say, and I'm up here for the same. And they'd have to repeat this right the way through the dinner hour, you see.
Which itself is a slight humiliation. I mean,
well, absolute humiliation.
Your
yes.
own men.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes. And of course, in the earlier days, in the old battleships, there was another punishment which really disgusted me. That was, say a chap had been caught smoking on the mess deck or something like that, you see. Or he'd be caught throwing his cigarette end over the side. And all around the upper deck in working hour, in off hours, you see, they had what they called spitkets. There were wooden tubs about that depth and about that diameter, water in them. And all cigarette ends had to be thrown in there. If a chap was chewing and he wanted to spit, he had to spit into that. They were called spitkets, you see. Well, what they would do then, they would sling a spitkit round the chap's neck. And he'd have to walk up and down the upper deck all through the dinner hour or the time off, carrying this spitkit with chaps spitting in it and that sort of thing. That's horrible, isn't it, really?
He did that?
Yeah, he did that, yes. Yeah.
Who would issue a punishment like that?
Commander.
I've never heard of that one before.
No, well, that is a fact, yeah.
That you actually witnessed that happening?
Oh, I've witnessed it more than once, yes. A number of times.
And would certain other people be told to clean them out for the same kind of thing, that cleaning out a man's...
Oh, they'd all had to be done, you see. You had a special party for that, you see.
But it wouldn't be given someone as a punishment as well?
Oh, no, not for cleaning them out.
That was a very subtle way of humiliating a person.
Very. My gosh, and the most unhygienic, too.
I think this is something that I think we tend to forget about when we think about discipline.
Yes.
It comes in various packages.
Yes, it does, indeed.
A lot of it is about breaking a man... I mean, after a thing like that, what do other people think? I mean, what is the feeling when you see a man doing that?
I think you take it in your stride, you know.
You don't feel yourself humiliated that he is doing this and you can do nothing to help him?
No. I suppose you are at that stage then that any punishment is deserved.
And thank God it's not you.
Yes.
This is really the way people feel.
That's right, yes.
And you became an officer yourself eventually and were responsible for, you know, administering discipline.
I mean, yes.
You, from the receiving end, you were on the giving end.
Yes.
What was your feelings about discipline then? I mean, what was your attitude given the boy through the school, through the traineeship, rather?
Yeah.
Had already handled men in different ways. You had known. What was your general feeling about the administration of discipline and the way to handle people?
Well, I knew what discipline meant, of course. And I knew what it meant from my earliest days. And I tried to keep the discipline then as it was. Keep it the same right the way through. And my punishment returns, well, strangely enough, I invariably got my punishment book returned to me from the Admiral, saying, this should be reduced. This should be reduced. And yet, to me, it was quite a good punishment.
What sort of things would he actually would you issue him that he would say should be reduced? What sort of punishments?
Well, perhaps one chap would be ashore, shore leave, and return 2 hours late. You see? Well, I'd give him a 4 days number 10. I mean, he couldn't go ashore for 4 days. But the old man used to invariably send it back and say, only 2 days for this. Well, to my mind, that was not quite right. Particularly as one had to, if that came back like that, I'd have to have the chap before me again and tell him his punishment had been reduced. Rather letting me down, isn't it?
You had to obey the Admiral's instruction here. This
was
a recommendation, this was an order.
That's an order, yes, yes.
Mm. So you were humiliated in turn.
I was humiliated, yes.
But you did feel, was this because you knew the kinds of offences people did and advantages they took?
Yes, but the thing is, I knew the people. I knew the chap. You see?
What about your insistence as a younger, when you were a boy, mm-hmm. on tact and the importance of
yes.
diplomacy? How do these two work in together when you became an officer, when you became a commissioned?
Oh, I think it worked out the same, you know, really. Mm.
You know, let me just go on. In 1918, you were made warrant officer.
Yes.
Tell me about the procedure here and the board and the various
yes.
Situations, because this is what I want to hear about.
Yes. Well, you'll get promoted to warrant officer. You must hold an LTO's or a TGM's rank in the torpedo world, anyway, you see. And you must hold that. Then you have to undergo, you apply to sit the exam, you see. And you get a board is constituted with, say, a navigating officer, 2.5 striper as the chairman, and four warrant officers, all commissioned warrant officers, seaman, boatswain, gunnery, and so on, you see. And you pass an exam through those chaps, and their findings are a recommend or otherwise, you see.
This is an interview.
Yeah, and it's not a, no, it's not an interview, it's an exam. I think I've got my
the examination was a general background knowledge of seamanship and watchkeeping experience, boat work, slightly advanced from everything else.
Yeah.
And to have shown proficiency in this.
Yeah, yeah. So you do that, you see, and if you've passed, you're in due course promoted.
What is the actual board? What questions, given that you passed the examination,
yeah.
What happens then?
Well, this is the examination you
yeah.
pass.
Yeah, now
right?
after that,
yeah.
It doesn't automatically follow that you become a commissioned or a warrant officer.
Oh, yes, this is the examination for warrant officer.
Do you actually have an interview with these men? With
yes.
the officers?
Oh, yes, you're there the whole time.
Now, what happened? What was the questions and what
well,
the
they are.
The interview?
On rigging, you've got to answer questions on all those subjects, right?
Yeah. That it's not a general interview, it's a specific...
Oh, it's a specific, it's a professional examination. No, there's no... I see what you mean. You're really a selection board, that's what you're after. No, there's no selection board. You've got to be recommended, of course, from your captain. He recommends you... as suitable to become a gunner, then this slot is appointed and you sit for those, you see.
And just going back a bit, I mean, you joined the Navy as a boy from the sort of background you have joined.
Yes.
And I remember you saying, when you're on the Britannia,
yeah.
you were on the deck
yes.
one evening or one late one afternoon, and you walked across the top of the wardroom when you looked at
oh,
the
yeah,
starlight.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because that seems to be...
Well, one got the normal rations, you see, from the paymaster, tea, sugar, milk, bread, meat, and that was your lot, righto? Righto? If anything extra, you had to buy from the canteen, you see. Well, now, the pay in those days was pretty meagre. You couldn't afford to buy much. Consequently, you were nearly always hungry. And one day I was walking on the quarterdeck and there was a skylight looking down into the wardroom. And they just sat down to dinner. Beautiful white tablecloth, glassware, silverware, chaps in boiled shirts, and the food being brought out to them. Well, can you imagine the feeling of anyone going back to one's mess for supper, which was a piece of cheese and a little bit of chutney or something like that? That's what it strikes one, the difference between the two.
Did this image stay with you through your...
It did, I suppose, yes. I don't think one could eradicate it, really. So when one attained that rank, one appreciated it.
And you were saying there that when, or before anyway, as a young boy or as a younger sort of torpedo man, mm-hmm. seaman torpedo man, you had mixed with the warrant officers mm-hmm. already, and you had seen what they were like, and you
yes,
said,
yes.
if I work, I can do it. Tell me about that. Tell me yes. about your the way that your ambitions crystallized.
Well, I was going to say that the war came in, you see, very shortly after I was made able seaman, and promotion then was...